Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Lord's house today. A delight to have all of you with us. Those of you joining us online, a great big old welcome to you also. You are a part of our worshiping community also, so thank you for being with us today. You've probably noticed from your bulletin and the front cover and that which you find inside that we are entering into our missions month today. This is our church's 75th annual missions conference. We have been doing this for 75 years now. I will have you know I was not here for the very first one, but we have been doing this for a long time, and this is number 75, and we are so thankful that the Lord has given to us a Savior to talk about, a gospel message to proclaim, and a Redeemer who lives within. He's given to us a story, a testimony, and it's all about Jesus our Lord. And we take our missions program and our missions emphasis very, very seriously here at True Memorial. And you'll notice in your bulletin today that our month is entitled Facing a Task Unfinished. That is our theme for this month. Our mission speakers are listed on there for each week in the month of October. Although Ron and Sharon, I think we got you guys kind of flipped in there, if I'm not mistaken. I think you guys are not with us on the 23rd, but the 16th. Check your calendars for me, okay? I think I got that correct there. But we have our missions lineup there, and it's there for you to take a look at. Facing a Task Unfinished. Our guest speakers today, my friends Mike Hennessy and Tim Blow from House and Hope will be leading us off. And as I think of what we are doing here today and this month in our missions conference, this is not something that we just, it's the month of October, so we got to do. No, we are a missions church. If you read through the pages of your New Testament, the book of Acts is a missions book. The word goes forth from the mother church, and it continues to go forth today. Do you remember the story back at the end of Luke chapter 24? Jesus and a couple of his disciples are found on a road to Emmaus, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And they are somewhat distraught of what has happened in the last 72 hours. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 21, you can tell what's on their mind. He says, but we had hope that he, meaning Jesus, they hadn't recognized him yet, that he was the one to redeem Israel. You can tell what where their mind was at. The redemption of an entire nation. That's what they were thinking of. And not necessarily individual salvation. And then when you get to the book of Acts, once again, you can tell what they're thinking by the questions that they ask. We're all familiar with Acts chapter 1, verse 8, aren't we? But in verse 6, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, his disciples, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what they're thinking. National redemption, the nation of Israel. To which Jesus responds to them, and he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Listen, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And the word would go forth, and that word continues to go forth today, and we are a part of that going forth. Today there is still a task yet unfinished, and we are a part of it. And our missions representatives and speakers are a part of it, for we have a message that must go forth, and it is about Jesus, and is about the message of the gospel and salvation in his name. And today, Mike and Tim will be sharing, well, what the Lord has called them to do in their part of the larger task. So I want to welcome them, and we're so thankful that they're here with us today. Hey friends, number 74 in your hymnal, to the one that we praise today, to the one that we tell of, unto that one, his name is Jesus, unto him belongs all glory, honor, and praise. Number 74, please stand with me if you will. If you are joining us at home and you have a home hymnal and you hear the organ music playing, we're going to be singing the hymn entitled Majesty. So you can join us there in your living room, at your kitchen table, wherever you may be this morning. We're going to be singing together Majesty. Let's sing. Let's worship. Standing with me as now we read from God's Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We begin at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him, and he cried out, "This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." The Word of God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, with the greatest of delight, we draw into your presence today. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to this place, your house, this holy, this sanctified, this set apart house where your people will come together and we will lift up the name of Jesus. We will exalt that precious name alone. Thank you, Lord, for saving our eternal souls through the shed blood of the Redeemer, the perfect Lamb of God. We will worship this day. Thank you that you have given to us a song to sing about the Redeemer. Thank you that you have given to us voices with which to proclaim our great salvation in our ever wonderful and beautiful Savior. We will sing this day unto you. We will worship you. We will remember the truth of thy word. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our midst this day, in our thoughts, in our hearts, always to the glory of your name. Lord, would you move mightily in our midst today? Touch us, we pray. Convict us where necessary. Encourage us always. And Lord, may we be found once again busy at the task that is before us. May we be found faithful. Lord, your blessings upon this hour of worship, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, you may be seated, and as you are finding your seats and getting comfortable there, don't put that hymnal away just yet. I'm going to invite you to find your way to number 277. Those of you joining us at home, if you have a home hymnal up front of you, we're going to be singing the first two verses of the hymn entitled The Church's One Foundation. And let's sing the first two verses only that we find there. One and two, it's number 277. The hymn is entitled The Church's One Foundation. Again, let us sing, let's worship. All right, does everybody have with them right now their communion cup and wafer? Does anybody need one before we go to communion now? All right, Brian, gentlemen, could you bring several of them up towards the front over here? And if you do not have one, but just raise your hand very quickly. There are others who do not have one. And our ushers will make We want to make sure that everybody has a communion cup. You're going to need it in just a few minutes. Alrighty. All right. Keep your hand up so Brian can see who he's giving one to. Keep your hands up. There we go. Alrighty. As we are securing a communion cup for everybody, let me tell you what we're going to do right now. I usually always have a little devotional thought for us before we approach the communion meal. What I'd like to do this morning is just to
I want to reserve as much of our time as we can today for Mike and Tim. So what I'd like to do before communion, however, is just to share with you scripture passages that do point to the communion meal and the purpose behind it. And we're going to do it this way. I'm going to read to you a handful of scriptures. For the first part of it, I'm going to be reading the scripture passages out of the New Living Translation. I'll let you know what scripture passage it is. And I'm going to read the very same scripture passage again, second time out of the Amplified Bible. You know, one of the things that we do encourage you to do is, when reading scripture or studying scripture or having devotionals, is to utilize, I know we all have our favorite versions, I certainly do also, but there really is great insight to be able to read in maybe a different version. Maybe it'll say the same thing, but it might use a different word in English. And that's always helpful. So I'll start off with the New Living Translation, and I'll read the same thing out of the Amplified Version. And as we come before the communion meal, it is a reminder, again, to me personally, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for your sins. He died for our sins. He made redemption possible through his life. And before we eat and drink as a family this morning and remember what he has done for us and given for us, allow the Word of God simply to prepare our hearts for what this very holy thing we're about to do. The first passage comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And once again, New Living Translation, and then Amplified Version. The Word of God reads like this. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Romans 5, 1, Amplified Version. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy, peace with God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. Listen to it again. In whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness, courage, and confidence, of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. The blood of Christ did that for us. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son, and He forgave us our sins. Listen to it again. In Him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through His blood, the remission, the forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of His gracious favor. As you hold that cup in your hands, and as we remember together that this we do in remembrance of Him, there's a remembrance to us today of His gracious favor showered upon us. If you would have been an Old Testament Israelite, you would have been familiar with this, Leviticus chapter 5, verse 6. You must bring to the Lord as the penalty for your sin a female from the flock, either a sheep or a goat. This is a sin offering which the priest will purify you from your sin, making you right with the Lord. And you would have to do that over and over and over again. And the blood of that animal never once, ever took your sins away. It covered them for a while. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I read out of the New Living Translation. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver. I like that. Mere gold or silver. Which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That was heaven's currency. That our sins might be forgiven. One last passage, Colossians 1, verses 19 through 22. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven, on earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Listen now. This includes you, who were once far away from God. Listen. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. Listen, as a result, He has brought you into His own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. Praise the name of the Lord. In Christ, that has been accomplished on our behalf. So today, when the Father looks upon you and me, those who are in Christ, He sees His Son and what He has done for us. The innocent paying the price for the guilty. The guilty taking on, being clothed with the very righteousness of Christ. And today, as we stand before the Judge, our Maker, He looks upon us in Jesus, and we have been declared innocent. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, with communion cup in hand, those texts of Scripture point us now to this which we do. The bread, symbolic of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cup symbolized the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant in His blood shed for us. That which we do is in remembrance of Him. This is a very, very holy act. This is a 2,000-year-old act of worship. And we're going to remember Jesus until He comes again for us. Remember, He told us in the Gospel of Matthew, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until that day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He's coming again, and we will drink again with Him in His kingdom. Right now, dear friends, let us prepare ourselves. I invite you to participate in the communion meal if you're at home and you have a piece of bread or some juice before you. Prepare yourselves also. And let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our thoughts for what we're about to do. Gracious Lord, You have given to us this holy act of remembrance. And Lord, we're going to remember right now, and we're going to proclaim, and we will give testimony that we have been washed and cleansed by the precious flow that came from our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that this is representative of heaven's divine cleansing agent, heavenly detergent to clean us and purify us. Not as the blood of bulls and goats of long ago, but rather that which removes our sin, cleanses us from within. And Lord, today we will remember, we will worship, we will eat and we will drink and we will give thanks. And we do this now with hearts of overflowing thanksgiving. And we do this in faith. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, would you take of your bread with me and of your cup? And now together as a church family, let us now eat, let us now drink. You'll notice that our next piece of music is entitled The Family of God. Years ago, we used to always hold hands with one another. We haven't done that since COVID. If you feel comfortable with holding the hand of the person who's standing next to you, stand up with me if you would, please. If you feel comfortable doing that, you go right ahead and do that. All right? If you do not feel comfortable, there's no pressure. No pressure. If you feel comfortable doing that, you go ahead and do it. Let's sing of who we are in Christ because of the shed blood of Jesus. Let's sing together.
Okay, let's, I think we should stand up. We're going to sing Cornerstone. You ready? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The sweetest rain, but holy trust in Jesus' name. We trust you, Jesus, Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone. We've made strong in the Savior's love. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
He is Lord,
He is Lord of all. Christ alone. with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone.
Amen.
Faultless stand before the throne. Faultless stand before the throne.
God is so good to us. Amen. We're just going to sing, let's do Christ is Risen. While we're on the topic of Jesus taking our sins away, let's celebrate that together.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the weight of all our sin, you bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength you reign, forever let your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. The glory of God has defeated the night. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, he's alive, he's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
Missions Month, so we're going to do a special song for Missions Month. Heads up to the PowerPoint folks upstairs, we're skipping a song in the interest of song. Facing a task unfinished. And I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but the hymn we sang earlier is going to, the whole tune is used in this song. Okay.
Bear with us, we just literally learned this Tuesday, so...
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease.
Where are there lords beside thee?
Where are the lords beside thee? Hold their unhindered sway. Where forces that defy thee, defy thee still today. With none to heed their crying for life and love and light. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night.
We go to all the world.
We go to all the world. His kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord.
We bear the torch.
We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives, proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours. Fired by the same ambition, to thee we yield our powers. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord.
Father who sustained,
O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake. Forth on thine errand send us, to labor for thy sake. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord.
No other name.
No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord.
Good job, buddy. You can be.
All right, worship team, thank you for leading us this morning. And they did real well since they just learned that a couple days ago. We're going to be singing that one more in the month of October, right? All righty. So we're going to be singing that one some more. Children who are going to junior church can be dismissed at this time. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front? We prepare now to worship our Lord in the bringing forth of our tithes and gifts, our offerings. And as the gentlemen are coming forward and the children are exiting, let me pray for us. And then we will worship our Lord in the giving of gifts. Let's pray together. Lord, as you have given to us, and you have given so wonderfully, you have given to us with an abundance of grace. Grace indeed that is amazing. Father, thank you for your gifts to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, the redemption of our eternal souls. Lord, now as we give to you, in joy and in thanksgiving and in obedience to your word, I pray that you would take these gifts and use them mightily for the furtherance and the continuance of your kingdom program in this community, our neighboring communities, and Lord, throughout the world. To God be the glory in all things. Thy perfect will be done. And Lord, we take up our offering now. with joy and in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, at this time I wanted to introduce my friends Mike and Tim. They are representing the Ministry of House and Hope for us today in Berwick. Many of you are here today are probably very familiar with that ministry. This past year during Vacation Bible School, they were our missions project. And they've been our missions project in VBS before in years past also. So it is indeed it's a joy, it's a privilege, it's an honor to partner with them and the great work the Lord has called them to. So I'm just going to pass things over to you guys. We get two of them for the price of one this morning, folks. So Mike's going to lead us off. And then, also I've asked both of them if they would reserve a little bit of time at the conclusion of the service today in case any of you guys have any questions you'd like for them to field for you. So we'll do a little Q&A at the end of their presentation this morning. All right.
And thank you guys for giving Tim and I the opportunity to share about the House of Hope this morning. The difference between Tim and I is he's not terrified of public speaking. I am. So if I pass out, please don't record it. So for those who don't know what we do, House of Hope is a free community restaurant and food pantry. In 2011, a small group of us prayed for a way to show the love of Christ to people in need. After surveying many public officials in the Somersworth and Berwick area to find out what they thought were some of the biggest needs in the community, food insecurity kept coming up as a huge need for individuals and families. After a lot of conversation, research, and prayer, we determined a free community restaurant would be the best the way for us to show the love of Christ while addressing a physical need for healthy homemade meals to those struggling with food insecurity, and also people who were just lonely and in need of fellowship. We then started looking for space to rent in Somersworth or Berwick, and we found a three-story brick building in downtown Berwick available that was within walking distance of downtown Somersworth and Berwick. Town officials in Berwick were more open to the idea of a soup kitchen in the downtown. After several planning board meetings, we got the approval to renovate and use the property at 6 Sullivan Street. After months of renovations and hundreds of hours of volunteer labor, we served our first meal in August of 2012. We started serving dinner one night weekly and quickly realized the need was greater than we thought. So we increased from one night per week to three nights per week and added a food pantry. We then soon realized that we were running out of space. So we started looking for a larger facility with our own on-site parking. And in 2015, we purchased the former Catholic church located at 25 Sawmill Hill in Berwick. We spent a year gutting and renovating the building with volunteers providing most of the labor. We added a commercial kitchen, new vinyl siding, new electrical, new plumbing, new heating systems, drywall, and new flooring to bring the building up to code and to provide a nice place for individuals and families to have a healthy meal 3 days a week and to be shown the love of Christ. We pray before every meal and have volunteers whose sole responsibility is to build relationships and to be a light for Christ to the people that come for dinner. We currently have about 160 volunteers that come every month just to serve. We have no paid staff. And in 2021, we served over 14,000 meals. We deliver meals to people who are unable to get out of their house, and we also pick up guests with our 12-passenger van who would like to come but don't have transportation. Again, our sole goal is to show the love of Christ to individuals and families and also to point them to Christ for their hope and their salvation. We host a women's Bible study on Saturday mornings, a men's Bible study on Sunday evenings, and we also provide space for local community groups, a Berwick Adult Education. There's a special needs group that comes in once a month to cook for our serving teams. And then House of Hope's next chapter involves youth. A few years ago, we started asking parents and counselors in the Somersworth and Berwick school systems what needs teens had. A place for teens to go after school and programs for kids was a huge need. So we asked for stats, and boy, did we get some. In 2019, some of the stats we got were kind of alarming. 3% of youth report homelessness, 32% had anxiety or depression, 20% reported some abuse or violence in their home, 23% reported giving away or selling drugs, and 16% have contemplated suicide. Just very scary stats. And this was in 2019. We feel that the absence of God in kids' lives leads to a sense of hopelessness, and why wouldn't they? Without Christ in their lives, what hope in the future can they have if they think this life is all that there is? Our goal is to try to give kids and their families an eternal perspective beyond what this short life on earth has to offer. So with that being said, we have exciting news that House of Hope is raising enough money for phase one, and we're breaking ground this month on a 30,000 square foot Christian youth and community center that will serve the Berwick-Somersworth area and obviously surrounding areas. The building will have an indoor basketball court, indoor soccer field, an indoor walking track, art and music rooms, youth rooms, a theater room, and most importantly, at the center of all we do in this building, Christ will be there. Because without him, honestly, what's the point? We hope and pray that True Memorial will come alongside us and help us serve the youth in our area. I'll leave you with Tim now to give you more details about the future of House of Hope and the 210 Youth Center. Thank you.
Yeah, I realize that that's a little blurry. So out in the lobby, there's actually on the easel out there pictures. You can look at it a little bit better to kind of get a glimpse of what the 210 Center is going to look like. So good morning, True Memorial. We're so glad that we could be here, and we're just honored for this opportunity. And just thank you for your support of this ministry. And it's truly our pleasure to be with you. My name is Tim Blow, and I am on the board at House of Hope. Now, before moving to Berwick, Maine, in June of 2020, I was a youth pastor for 18 years. So students are my heart, and I had the privilege and honor of just pastoring and discipling thousands of students over those years. And now I find myself on the board of House of Hope. Now, part of that, I think, is just to keep Mike in line. He needs a little bit there. I wonder if he actually regrets bringing me on the board. But I think one of the reasons why God has brought me and my family to Berwick, Maine, is because of what he is doing and is going to do through the House of Hope and the 210 Center. Because the need is great, and we're just excited to be a part of it. The 210 Center, like Mike was talking about, is a youth center that is being built on the property of House of Hope. And we're building this. It's going to have, it's a place where middle school and high school students can come after school, and that's going to be a large part of it, can come, have fun, find structure, have a place that's safe for them to go. And most importantly, so that they can actually encounter adults who love Jesus, love them, and as a result, they get to see that love of Jesus lived out in their life. And we know that the need is so big and so great, and so we're just excited about the fact that God is just paving the way for this to come about. And we're just excited about the chance to see Jesus change the lives of students with the good news of the gospel for now and for all of eternity. And we're just really excited about that. And this morning, I really would love to talk to you about identity, because I think it's something that's such a huge issue, but not just for students. It's really for adults, too. They struggle with that as well. But I think especially students of today, because identity is who we are. Identity drives motivation. Motivation drives action. Action drives results. For example, if someone speeds past me 90 miles per hour on the Spalding, maybe that's happened to you, I don't know, odds are I am not going to chase them down and issue them a ticket. Because in my identity, I don't say, oh, I'm a police officer. Now, however, there might be somebody else who does have the identity that I am a police officer, and they're going to see that person, and that identity is going to drive their motivation, and that drives action, which means they're going to chase that speeder down, right? And that's when we're like, yeah, I got him. And then that action brings about results, a very hefty speeding ticket, right? And so it's very interesting because our identity, whether we realize it or not, it drives actions, decisions that we make on a daily basis, all the time. How we see ourselves matters, big time. And honestly, I think in this day and age, students like never before are facing just a very difficult place of where they find themselves in their identity. In the U.S., students find themselves just connected constantly to everyone without really having any deep connections. And yet they're also inundated with basically limitless information. The information they have at their fingertips at all times is so much greater than any of us had when we were their age. Students now they're still recovering from the unprecedented isolation that they experienced during a worldwide pandemic in the middle of their formative teenage years. And not only do they have to navigate social media, which is like spending every waking hour comparing themselves to everybody else and also trying to figure out where they fit in or am I going to get likes with this post or whatever it might be. They're also trying to figure out and declare how they, quote unquote, identify. My middle daughter, she is a freshman and just started in a new program through Noble High School. And right off the beginning of the year, she had to let them know what pronouns that she was going to use. Right? And at least at that moment. Gender is no longer male and female, but consists of at least 72 other options that they can choose from. And it's one of these things that can be like drive us crazy, but it's also something that should make our hearts break. Because imagine students with all that they're already having to face, with all they're having to navigate already, we're trying to figure out where they fit in, who they are, what are they going to do for the rest of their lives. They're trying to figure all these things out, and now on top of that, they're trying to figure out, well, what am I? And the pressures that they are facing. And I think the crisis of identity that they're facing is greater than any generation we've seen here before in the United States. And they're asking the questions that I think a lot of people have asked of, who am I? What am I? What is the purpose of my life? Right? And they're trying to figure that out. And I think though students today are facing this incredibly difficult time in history with these questions, it's nothing new. It's something that humanity has been asking since the very beginning of time, both adult and teenagers. But before we go any farther, I want to pray for us. Can we pray? Father, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to look at your word. Father, I thank you for how your word has already been declared here this morning. I thank you for the worship we've been able to have. I thank you for the fact, Lord, that you gave it all so that we could have life. And I pray that our hearts would break for those who are far from you, who are lost. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow True Memorial, and I pray you also would allow the 210 Center to be a place where students, middle school and high school students, who are lost and far from you, can find hope and can find life. Through the love of your people and through the truth of your gospel. So thank you, Father, for this time. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen, but you could go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 to 10. We're going to be reading primarily out of the ESV, but we're going to jump around a little bit, like Pastor Rick talked about. We'll do a little NLT in there, too. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. You guys are probably pretty familiar with this passage. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raises us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in beforehand that we should walk in them." So like I said, there's a crisis. There's a crisis, I think, that is out there today. And the greatest crisis facing students in all of humanity has been present since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. And we see that right off the bat in verse 1 of chapter 2. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked." That's the greatest crisis. We are sinners. Take a second, and by the way, I'm a youth pastor at heart, so just bear with me with some stuff. But just take a second and just look to the people to your right and to your left. You can see there's some people there, right? And now, I know your mama taught you well, and you're not supposed to point, but I want you to turn and point at those people. And you can say, "You're a sinner, and you're a sinner, I'm a sinner." And please don't be offended by this. If you're a visitor here, I don't think they typically point at you and call you a sinner. But the reality is, as hard as it might be, we're all sinners. That's how we start this life. My wife's cousin has the cutest little girl. She just turned 2. She's so cute. In fact, my wife had to drive over there for her birthday this week just to give her a hug because she's just that cute, right? And but she's got these little blonde curls on her head. Her name is Susie Q, and she is just the cutest thing. But I remember talking with her dad at one point, and he just said, "She's just so naughty," right? And the reality is, we don't have to teach kids to do what's wrong, do we? It just happens, right? No matter how cute they are, you don't have to train them up to do wrong. In fact, that would be wrong if you did that, so please don't do that. We have to do the opposite. We have to train them up. We have to guide them and direct them to do what is right, because their natural bent is to do wrong, to be selfish, because we are sinful people. And that's how we're born. And sinning comes naturally. And we see in Romans, just echoing what we just read in Ephesians, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. And we see those things. And I think what's ironic is just how evidently true in today's world these next couple verses in Ephesians are, Ephesians 2. Picking up in verse 2, I'll just start with 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Nothing here is a new thing. But isn't this just like our culture today? We see it all around us. It's this progressive movement, and if you're not involved in this movement, then you must be stuck in the past, and you're judgmental, or you don't love people, or whatever. But there's this progressive movement that's pushing people to pursue the passions of their flesh, to go after what they feel, to do what is right for them. You do you, and don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong. In fact, that's a Jason Mraz song that came out in 2020, right? You do you. I mean, if you do a simple Google search of identity crisis, pretty quickly you find even a medical website that lists how to cope with and how to deal with identity crisis. And it says this. It says to look inward and explore. Search for joy and ways to cope. Find people who will support you, who are just like you. And ignore external and internal judgments. And if you read really into those things and how it explains it, basically the mantra is follow your heart, your feelings in that moment, and do what you want. And don't let anybody tell you, not even your own checks and balances within you, nor anybody, even if they love you, don't let them tell you that you're wrong. And that's kind of the way that our culture is going. But again, this is nothing new. We read in Proverbs 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, many times, not always, but identity crisis can kind of come out of a difficult time, and the world's answer is to look inward, follow your heart, throw caution to the wind, and never look back. But again, this is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. In fact, the nation of Israel and Judah did this very same thing. They followed the course of the world that they lived in. They sought after the passions of their flesh, going after their heart's desires. In response to Judah's sin, God says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So because we're sinful by nature, following our heart won't lead us to the fullness of life or an identity that lines up with who we are created to be. And just because something, just because our heart is screaming something in the moment, even if that moment is a long period of time, it doesn't mean that that is true or good. Or what is right for our life? So what's the answer? How do we turn the corner here? Well, we can begin by turning the corner towards being known and understanding the identity that we have in Christ. And the first step to being known is understanding that we have a general identity. Our general identity is true of every single human being. We find this in the first book in the first chapter of the Bible. And that we were created in the image of God. That's what makes us unique over all the other created things. This general identity is often referred to, maybe you've heard it before, as the Imago Dei. And there was a great little article in the Gospel Coalition recently, and basically this is a quote out of it. That the Imago Dei imbues humanity with intrinsic value. That means there is immense value to every single human being, no matter who they are, what kind of work they do, what kind of background they have, if they're rich, they're poor, what they look like. None of those things matter. Because they are a human being, they are of intrinsic value because they are made in the image of God. The Imago Dei also reveals the depth of God's character and creativity. It gives guidelines on how we should live and work and use our bodies, and defines the ultimate goal of our lives, to glorify and exalt our Creator God. Amen? This is true of every single human being. But not only do we become known and know our identity in Christ by understanding our general identity, but we also have to see that there is a specific identity that each one of us has. We have a specific identity that is alluded to here in this Ephesians 2 passage. and that, and also a passage that Pastor Rick read this morning, that everyone falls into one of two categories. You are either what we see here in Ephesians 2 as a child of wrath, or you are, as we see in John 1:12, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So every human being is created in God's image. That's our general identity. But specifically, we fall into one of those two categories. We're either that child of God or child of wrath. And I've met really well-meaning, sweet people who are just talking about people in general, and they're like, oh, we're all children of God. Actually, we're not. We're all created in his image, and as a result, we have worth and value. Don't get me wrong. But the Bible is very clear that we are children of wrath. Initially, it's how we start out. Every single person in this room started that way. But there's a very clear hope for all, and we see it. It's the gospel summed up in two words. And it's the first two words of verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God. There's no mistaking it. It's God. He is the one who does this. When there is no hope, but God. And I don't know about you, there might be times when you're like, man, there's just no hope for this generation. There's no hope for where these students are going. There's no hope but God. And we have to remember that. I'll read again verses 4 to 7, this time out of the NLT. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by grace you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. See, when we receive Jesus, our specific identity is forever declared as a child of God. Yeah. And as a child of God, we are actually then set free to actually live out our general identity, to live out how God created us to be. The more we know God, the more secure in our identity will be. Created in the image of a perfect and holy God and shaped by his hand, we can rest securely knowing that the DNA in our bodies and the days of our lives were written before our hearts began beating. For all the lostness out there, for all the struggle and pain, isn't it what people need to hear? That they can rest securely. They can rest securely knowing that the DNA in their body and that the days of their lives were written before their hearts began to beat. And the one who wrote the script is sovereign over all. So we have our general identity, we have our specific identity, but what about our purpose? What are we here for? Let's keep going in Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. See, our purpose is so much bigger than we are. Our culture says, hey, look within, look what drives you and what you're excited about. That's your purpose. But then that means our purpose is no bigger than we are. And if something changes and our purpose has changed, so then do we really have any purpose? But when our purpose is found in our God and Creator, our purpose is not only rock solid, but it also is much bigger than just us. Our purpose doesn't begin and end with us. Our purpose is founded in the God of the universe who made us unique for this unique time And our purpose is a divine one that He's prepared for us. We just have to walk in them. We are His amazing workmanship, created, equipped, and launched to live the life full of God-sized purpose and meaning. And this is what students so need to hear today. This summer, I watched with my two high school age kids the greatest movies of all time, Lord of the Rings. And yes, I'm one of those, right? And they're such great movies, and I love the fact that my kids loved them. But one of the main characters of the trilogy is Frodo Baggins. And in the beginning of the story, he's kind of known as, you know, Frodo of the Shire. He's Frodo of the Shire, and that is who he is. Until, as a result of the need that is there, he becomes Frodo the Ring Bearer, and his job is to bear the one ring. It's this, you know, that's evil and needs to be destroyed, and he has to take it to the most dangerous place and destroy it. And the rest of the movie kind of follows that, and he is forever changed by this purpose, because this purpose was not just about him and his life and his little town, but was actually one to save all of Middle Earth, right? And even at the end, when the ring is destroyed, and I'm sorry for the spoiler alert, it's been out for almost 20 years, so, you know, I don't feel bad, right? And there's books, too. When he goes back to the Shire, he's never the same. He's never again just Frodo of the Shire. He's forever changed. And see, when students can be set free to know their God-given purpose, they're never the same. It changes who they are. It changes the direction of their life. I want to circle back to the 210 Center. So God is leading us to build this youth center because students are in an identity crisis. Of the 3,600 middle school and high school students in the town surrounding the 210 Center, okay, 3,600 approximately of them, well, statistically, 3,300 of them don't know Jesus. That's staggering when we stop and think about it. And the numbers may be worse than that. That's just Pew numbers, right? Pew Research numbers. I think there's a lot of people who attend church who don't know Jesus. And so imagine the pain, the lostness, the difficulties they're going through. And so the need is so huge. These students have never been set free that they might live a purpose so much bigger than themselves as they become the teenager that God created them to be. But here's the thing. And this is where we all come in. Because Romans 10, 13 to 15 says this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." It would be very, honestly, I think, foolish of us to think that somehow, in some way, apart from doing something, and the power of the Spirit, that those 3,300 students would somehow hear the gospel and turn to Jesus. Because I tell you what, it's not by looking at our culture. It's not even by looking at what our culture says of Christians that's going to drive them towards Christ. It's going to be men and women who love Jesus and love them and share with them about Jesus that will change things, one student at a time. So what about you? If in faith, and I know this is a place that preaches the gospel, if in faith you've experienced God's free gift of salvation, then you are His workmanship. God has good works that He's already prepared for you. You just have to walk in them. Perhaps that means being involved in ministry here at True Memorial, and you are serving in the gifts that God has given to you, and you are making a difference in that sense. Maybe you have a heart for people going through difficult circumstances, and so you want to come and serve a hot meal to a needy family at the House of Hope. Maybe when you think about teenagers, your heart breaks. It does. And what they're going through and what they're facing. So maybe part of that might be you want to give out of what God has given you and help meet the financial needs of this 210 Center. Because like Mike said, we're at phase one and we have the funds to do that, but we still got to finish this thing. And we're going to trust that God's going to finish it in his timing, because he will. But maybe he wants you to be a part of helping to make this a reality and launching it as quickly as possible. Because I think even in one of the songs we sang, man, every year people pass away. Every year people graduate away. And so the students that we could have the potential to minister to now won't be there in a year. Some of them won't be. And so the need is so great. But then some of you, maybe you're that adult who has a heart for students and you want to come and you want to be one of the many volunteers that we need, whether that's working in relationships with students, which is huge, or somebody help supporting to make the center run. Maybe that's you. Because here's the thing. There are a lot of adults that are needed to serve. Because in order for squirrely teenagers, far from God who loves them, in order for them to be able to encounter that love, God's love, we need people like you to be able to do it. House of Hope is not a church. We don't have a congregation. The 210 Center is not a church. We don't have a congregation. We're going to be relying upon the many local churches around for believers to step up and to say, I have a heart for the lost, and I want to get involved. But for all of you, can I just implore you to pray, to partner with us at least in that way? Students desperately need to find the love of Jesus and become one of God's children so that they can live out their created purpose. I just want to thank you again for allowing us to be here and just to share with you what God's doing through the 210 Center. And however God might use you in regards to the House of Hope and the 210 Center, I just pray that he richly blesses you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, your truth. God, I thank you for the life-changing truth of the gospel. That God, you have set us free to live the life that you created for us. And Father, there are thousands upon thousands of students just in this area alone who don't know that purpose, who don't know you. And I pray that you would give them an opportunity to hear through whatever means you choose, Lord, to hear about the God who loves them, who wants to give them life both now and forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I do want to pray with you guys before you leave here today, okay? Gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, your ministry, your obedience to the Lord's calling in your lives. Before we let you go today, folks, does anybody have any questions you'd like to float to the guys today? Ed, go ahead. Start us off. And if we don't get to you or you don't want to raise your hand, you want to chat with the guys, they'll be available to visit in the foyer as you're leaving today.
You've alluded a lot to the idea of identity, and we know what's happening in our culture today. What I'd like to know is, and I'm not familiar with your work and we're fairly new to this area, is does the House of Hope have an official kind of a policy that you will not acquiesce to the various pronouns and the perversions that come your way? And I'll finish in a moment. When a child comes to you, you will love that child as a boy or a girl, regardless of what he, his parents, or the school district says? And have you recognized that? And I'm unfamiliar with the Berwick area. I'm a New Yorker, but I mean, and you're going to get serious, serious persecution if you do that. And so I would like to, for you to flesh that out a little bit for me.
Folks, anybody else? Another question? Any other questions? All righty. If you have anything you'd like to ask, but you're just too shy to hold the mic and ask it, go ahead and ask your question to the gentleman. They'll be in the foyer, and they can extend this conversation with you. Right now, can I pray for you guys? Come on up. Let me pray for you. And then we have one last hymn that we're going to that we're going to sing together. You've told us a lot this morning, past, current, future ministries, and what the Lord is doing, and we need to pray for this, for the House of Hope and this very, very worthy ministry, that they be the hands and the feet of Jesus right where he has planted you guys today for such a season as this. And a challenge it is for sure. Let me pray for your faithfulness to him. Gracious Lord, we thank you for our precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, though we ourselves were once estranged and foreign to the gospel, that somebody that you raised up came near to us and shared with us the message of Christ and the precious gospel. And Lord, I pray for House of Hope today, that you will continue to use them right where you have put them this day for a time such as this. You have put a passion in their hearts for you and for our communities. And now, Lord, we have heard today about reaching out to the younger set, to be Jesus to them. Father, I pray that their needs would be met fully, adequately, completely in Christ Jesus. Lord, that one step of the way, phase one before them, one step of the way, Lord, you would provide for their needs, and we're going to trust in you for that. Lord, would you use them as your representatives? Lord, may they be a conduit of the gospel and of Christ Jesus, and of the message of love, your love for the whole world. so much so that you sent your Son to die on our behalf. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them as they wait upon you and listen to the leading and the direction of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Tim, for Mike, and Lord, for all who serve in that capacity. Bless them richly, Lord, I pray, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. All righty. Hey, we have one more hymn. You're familiar with the tune, and we're going to put it up on the big screen because we didn't have room in the bulletin. All righty. When it comes up, please stand with me, and we're going to sing together. It's been a while since we sang this hymn, but you'll be familiar with the tune. Let's sing. Let's worship. We've been referring to Ephesians a lot this morning, so let's send ourselves on our way today with the Ephesian doxology. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people to that said, amen. Amen. God bless you all, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord. If you want to visit with the men, they'll make themselves available to you. Have a blessed day in the Lord. You're dismissed.